Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, and beginning at verse 11. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give to me the share of the property that falls to me. And he divided to them what he was possessed of. And after not many days, the younger son, gathering all together, went away into a country a long way off, and there dissipated his property, living in debauchery. When he had spent all, there arose a violent famine throughout that country, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he longed to fill his belly with the husks which the swine were eating, and no one gave to him. And coming to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have abundance of bread, and I perish here by famine? I will rise up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose up and went to his father. But while he was yet a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion, and ran and fell upon his neck and covered him with kisses. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his bondmen, Bring out the best robe and clothe him in it, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and has come to life, was lost and has been found. Then if we turn to chapter 23 of the same gospel, Luke chapter 23 and beginning at verse 33. And when they came to the place which is called Skull, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on his right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And parting out his garments, they cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them sneered, saying, He has saved others. Let him save himself, if this is the Christ, the chosen one of God. And the soldiers also made game of him, coming up, offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And there was also an inscription written over him in Greek and Roman and Hebrew letters, This is the King of the Jews. Now one of the malefactors, who had been hanged, spoke insultingly to him, saying, Art not thou the Christ? Save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou too not fear God, thou that art under the same judgment? But we indeed justly, for we receive the just recompense of what that we have done. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said to Jesus, Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Verily I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And lastly, in the Gospel of John. Gospel of John in chapter 20. Chapter 20 and beginning at verse 19. When therefore it was even on the first day, which was the first day of the week, the doors shut where the disciples were through fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and says to them, Peace be to you. And having said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples rejoiced, therefore, having seen the Lord. And then further down in verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and put my finger into the mark of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And 8 days after, his disciples were again within, and Thomas with them. Jesus comes, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be to you. Then he says to Thomas, Bring thy finger here, and see my hands, and bring thy hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing. I just had it on my heart tonight to think of the love of the Lord. And I just really felt that this first scripture really just wonderfully displays it. It's a parable that the Lord told, as we know. The Lord told parables in many different ways, some long, some short. But his desire with these was to illustrate something. And this parable, I think, illustrates a number of wonderful truths. I think, first of all, it illustrates us. We have here this younger son. There's many parents in this room. We know how much a parent loves their child. And what pain it must cause when that child goes another way. The son gathered. He asked for his portion from his father. And then taking all, left his presence and went a long way off. It's a picture of you and me, dear friend. Each of us, in our sins, has sought our own way. We've sought what we wanted. And so we, like this son, wandered away from God. And like this son, maybe we've enjoyed time for a while. The world has many pleasures, but as this young man found, they couldn't satisfy. They ran out. I'm sure with riches he probably would have had many friends. Many who were happy to join him in enjoying his substance. But when all was gone, there was none to help him. That's the thing with this world, dear friend. There might be many things we might like in this world, but there is none here who can help you with your need to be rid of your sins. I can't help you. None walking out there, no doctor, no physician, none can help you with your burden of sin. You see, our sins make us worthy of death and destruction. Scripture tells us that the wages of sin is death. Wages are something that we rightfully earn by our actions. And by our action of wandering away from God, we are worthy of nothing else. Well, this young man ended up in very dire straits. There was a complete lack of necessity to provide, not just for him, but for many. Famines would have hit many people. None to help him. He sought the best he could. And that was simply to be able to feed pigs. To be a swine herder. And there he is. He's found himself there. He's so desperately in want, he's willing to even try and eat of what those swine were eating. desperately trying to make an existence for himself. And then he comes to remember what he left behind. And dear friend, that is what I would like to tell you in the gospel, is what we've left. We've left our God and our Father. And my desire, my dear friend, is that you would seek him again. Because like this young man, we all have a need of having our sins forgiven. So what does this young man do? Says he comes to himself. He came to the realization that there was a better place. Even amongst this famine, even amongst this pain and suffering he was going through, there was a better place in his Father's house. He remembered that even the servants were far better off than where he was there. And so he decides to return. How must that have felt? You're going back to one you turned your back on. One who need give you no part. One who had every right to refuse admittance. He begins to make that journey. And as he goes, he suddenly sees someone a long way off, running. Running towards him. We're not told there was anyone with him, running by himself. Running to meet his Father. He'd not sent a servant. He'd not sent another. He was coming himself. And not coming in judgment, but coming to welcome him. To have seen him a long way off, he must have been watching. Watching every day. Waiting for the day when that one might return. He starts to go through his pre-planned speech. Starts to try and ask for forgiveness. He wasn't allowed to finish it. And he's given a place. Not as a hired servant, but as a son once again. Given a place that none would take away from him. Given a place that only the Father had a right to give. And brought into that house once more. It's a wonderful story. But as I said, it's an illustration of what the Lord Jesus has done for you and for me. It's an illustration of the welcome the Father is waiting to give you, to bring you home. In the second scripture, we read of the Lord Jesus. You see, for us to return home, it wasn't just a simple matter of turning a blind eye to our sins. We sang in the hymn, God is light and God is love. Mm-hmm. And God loves you very much, dear friend. But God is also a righteous God. He is a holy God. And sin cannot be in his presence. And so there was a separation between you and God. And me and God. And for that separation to be brought down, sin had to be judged. But our God of love put that judgment on the only one who could take it. The only one who could take our sins. His own beloved Son. The Son of whom he said, "This is my Son, in whom I have found my delight." There's no one else in Scripture he said that for. He loved his Son. He loved him so much. Scripture can't even give us the even smallest part of the strength of the love he had for his Son. And yet he was willing to give him. Willing to give him in all for you and for me. We said earlier, the wages of sin is death. In order for your sins and mine to be completely washed away, the Lord Jesus had to die. He had to take a punishment that he had not rightfully earned. He had to suffer for sins he had not committed. He had to endure a torment and pain beyond any other. I was just thinking when I read this scripture earlier of how many times there's those who say, "Let him save himself," or "Save yourself." The Lord endured many temptations when he was in the wilderness. And they proved his perfection. They proved how remarkably he was the Son of God. And even to the end, there was this temptation being put before him to save himself. But he would not save himself from that, because his desire was to save you and me. I love this story of this malefactor. He was a criminal. Crucifixion was a capital punishment reserved for those who had committed the worst of crimes. As a criminal, he had likely sought for things, tried to give himself a better lot. And he'd ended up with absolutely nothing. And the only thing he had left, his life, even that was about to be taken away from him. And so it was, he's hung on the cross. To one side of our Lord Jesus. He'd have heard the words that were jeered up at him. Heard all that was said. And I don't know what it was exactly, we're not told. But he came to a realization there was something very different about that person in the middle. He came to the realization that he was getting just what he deserved. And that man in the middle had deserved nothing of what he was receiving. And yet that man in the middle had said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I think he came to a realization that man wasn't taking a punishment for himself. And his desire, his simple desire, was to be remembered by him. And the Lord replies with those wonderful words, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." I don't know how much longer he would have been hanging there after that, but he'd gone from having nothing to having the greatest thing he could ever have. I don't know what he'd sought for in his life, but right at the end, right at the death, he found eternal life with Christ Jesus. And that's God's desire for you, dear friend. He's taken the punishment. He's taken it because he loves you. And he just wants you to put your faith and trust in him, to trust his work on the cross, and give yourself into his hands. Because those who belong to the Lord Jesus, he will never, ever lose. The last scripture in John. I was just thinking of these marks, actually, in his hands and his feet. I was thinking the Lord, on the run-up to the cross, healed a bondman's ear, restored it fully. But he didn't restore the marks in his hands and his side. I was just wondering why that was. And I just think it's because he wanted to show you his love for him. He wanted to show the disciples who he was. Because in those marks was love. A love poured out for them. A love that showed the suffering that he'd endured. And the love that showed his desire to claim them as his own. That's the gospel message, dear friend. The Lord Jesus, tonight, would seek to claim you as his own. Because he loves you. Because he wants the best for you. And the best thing you can possibly ever have is to be with him. And he promises in scripture that all those who put their faith and trust in him will be with him and will be with him eternally. And so I would simply put it to you, dear friend. Have you got your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus? If you haven't, simply ask him. That young man made a little speech. We're told of other ones in scripture. A man who said, "Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner." It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be eloquent. He's simply looking for you to turn to him and just simply ask him to forgive you of your sins. Pray that you might do so tonight before it is too late. And if you have already put your faith and trust in him, we can rejoice. We're in the love of a Savior who's never going to let us go. Who is coming one day very soon to claim us to be with him. and we'll never be separated from him ever again, dear friend. May God bless the word for his name's sake.